Welcome to Technology and the Arts, a bi-weekly podcast exploring the connections between the worlds of technology and art. In this installment, we'll hear interviews with attendees and exhibitors at this year's Trenton Computer Festival in Central New Jersey. Plus, we'll discuss prize-winning photographs at Pulitzer.org, the 2007 Boston Cyber Arts Festival, and Google's announced presentation application. And as usual, we'll share some helpful websites and online resources we have come across recently. We'll talk about all of this and more just ahead on Technology and the Arts for Wednesday, May 2nd, 2007. Now here are your hosts, Brian Kelly and John Lemazny.
Welcome to another edition of the Technology and the Arts podcast. As always, Technology and the Arts seeks to explore the connections between technology and art, and to establish a forum for discussing the impact technology has made on the human creative process and on literature, music, and the visual and interactive arts.
And to let you know who we are, my name is Brian Kelly. I'm a journalist by trade, amateur songwriter, musician, and science and technology enthusiast living in Central New Jersey.
And I'm John Lemazny, a father, artist, musician, poet, and technologist living in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Taking a look at what's on the palette for this podcast, in our In Perspective segment, we'll discuss our latest finds on the internet pertaining to technology and the arts, including the Boston Cyber Arts Festival, the confirmation of Google's presentation software, Pulitzer Prize-winning photos at Pulitzer.org, and WiseGeek.com's article, How to Make My Offline Life Easier. Then, in our dialogue segment, we'll hear from some of the people we met at the Trenton Computer Festival at the College of New Jersey, April 28th and 29th. But before we get into all that, John, it's good to see you again. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks. What you been up to lately?
Well, I just want to talk about the fantastic time we had at Trenton Computer Festival, where we not only got to talk to some people, but I had a great time presenting about podcasting and about blogging and about what's going on in Web 2.0 technologies. I also want to talk about an upcoming visit to Brookdale Computer Users Group regarding open source software. If you're interested in seeing my presentations at either Trenton Computer Festival or at Brookdale, you can visit ghost.rider.edu/openlearning, all one word in lowercase. I'll be visiting Brookdale in September, and I'll give you some more information about that as it gets closer. And finally, I will be visiting the Princeton Computer Users Group in October for a repeat of the fun talk that I've been giving on Firefox extensions. How about you, Brian? What's been going on with you?
Well, I recently saw Todd Rundgren perform, one of my musical heroes, and he had a great band with him, Tony Levin, who's performed with King Crimson and Peter Gabriel. He was on bass, and Jesse Gress, a longtime Todd Rundgren collaborator and Tony Levin band member, was on guitar, and Jerry Murata, another Peter Gabriel slash King Crimson alum and Tony Levin band member, he was on drums. It was a great show, and that took place at the Starland Ballroom on April 24th. Also, John and I talked to Rosalie Ann Legretta of the Lawrence Ledger shortly before recording this podcast, and the newspaper ran a feature on the Technology and the Arts podcast. And John and I would like to thank Rosalie for writing the story, and the great people at Chuckles who allowed us to sit in their restaurant for close to 3 hours, and that's Chuckles in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, where they have fantastic whole wheat vegetable pizza.
Absolutely fantastic service, food, and atmosphere.
Everything was excellent. And another thing I want to talk about is the Wave Gathering Festival in Asbury Park. And that's taking place May 18th through 20th. It features at least 150 artists at nearly 20 venues in Asbury Park. Former Technology and the Arts guest Christian Beach will be performing on Saturday, May 19th. If you want to check him out or any of the other artists performing, go to wavegathering.com for show schedules and other information. The festival also includes some music industry panel discussions, and I plan on being there to see Christian perform, but hopefully with a little bit of luck, I may be able to get some interviews out of some of the artists and music industry guests for future podcasts. But before we go any further, John and I would both like to extend our condolences to the friends and families of the victims of the horrific events that unfolded on the campus of Virginia Tech on April 16th.
With Brian and I having met at Rider University and having our ties start there, I think that it means something to anybody who has a close relationship with the university or anybody who ever went to a college and gathered the bonds that you gather at a university. When we found out about this, it really strikes home how wildly your life can be turned upside down by such a random, tragic event as this one.
Yeah, having worked at a university, it becomes a community, not just a school. And I can just imagine what those people at Virginia Tech are going through and the family. So once again, I would like to extend our sympathies and condolences to the entire Virginia Tech community. But moving on, let's get to our In Perspective segment. This is where we discuss recent headlines, hot topics, or helpful and interesting websites we've discovered recently. John, what would you like to put in perspective for our listeners?
Well, I did find a couple things very recently. One of the things I came across was the Pulitzer.org website, where they have records of the winners back to 1917. And the 2007 winners were just as interesting as other years past. The particular story of the Pulitzer winner that brought me to the site was the Feature Photography Pulitzer awarded to Renee Beyer of the Sacramento Bee for her intimate portrayal of a single mother and her young son as he lost his battle with cancer. It's an amazing series of photos to look at, and really, it's very clear why it's an award-winning series of photos. Just an amazing piece of photojournalism. On a much lighter and much different note, there is at tackyliving.com a toaster pastry review. And why do I bring it to your attention, you might ask? Because we had the pleasure to sit down with Rosalie from the Lawrence Ledger today, and she was really kind of stuck on the question about why do we do a podcast? If there's no money involved, and there is no money involved, why would we do a podcast? And part of the reason is because this is a niche. This is an area that nobody else is paying the kind of attention to that we are paying attention to, at least not that we're aware of or know of. And so we're providing that service. Well, somebody is providing the service. The people who run tackyliving.com is providing the service of a toaster pastry review, where they decided to rate various Pop-Tarts according to their fruit filling and their crispiness and their flammability and some other fun things. And this small review is sort of the core of what makes podcasting so great and what makes websites like these small independent sites so great. Somebody took the time to look at something fun and to exploit it and to make it what it can be, which is great media, great, fun, enjoyable media. And I salute tackyliving.com for having a post like this that just happens to be one of millions that is fun and endearing, and it touches you in a way that surprises you. You know, it's like, I guess I hadn't thought about what the best toaster pastry was, but I'm glad somebody did, and I'm glad they brought it to my attention, and I'm glad in the same way that we're able to talk about these various technology and the arts topics. So thank you, tackyliving.com. I did want to talk about Google and their recent announcement that they are confirming that sometime around June, they will be adding a piece of software to their Google Docs and Spreadsheets online application, which we happen to use to edit our scripts and I've used in other projects. It is a remarkable piece of software as it is. It provides that document and spreadsheet functionality. It will now add a presentation functionality. So while there's, you know, 1,001 ways to do it, you could, for instance, run openoffice.org on your USB key and have free presentation functionality similar to Microsoft PowerPoint. Or you could use PowerPoint because chances are you have it. Everybody seems to have Microsoft software, unfortunately. Google prepares to offer this to you as an online service, and it will have the same functionality as PowerPoint in many ways, if not all. I haven't seen the software yet, so I can't speak to it authoritatively. But if it's anything like their document or their spreadsheet offering, it's phenomenal. It does everything that you could expect in an office suite. And between OpenOffice.org and Google's Docs and Spreadsheets offering, Microsoft, you know, do something new. And finally, I wanted to talk about WiseGeek.com. They have a list of a bunch of tips how can I make my offline life easier? It seems like there's 1,001 productivity sites that talk about using, you know, getting things done and other techniques for making your online life easier, making sure you get all your tasks accomplished, making sure that you're the most productive bee that you can be. But this is a really interesting look at things you can do offline to make sure that your life is just as productive when you're not sitting in front of a computer, which I think that many of us who spend as much time as we do in front of a computer tend to lose that part of it and have piles on our desk. As we're sitting here in the Technology and the Arts studios, I'm looking at several piles that I really need to pay attention to. At any rate, I'll have to take a closer look at that article and get right on that. Brian, what do you want to put in perspective for our listeners?
Well, John, I'd like to talk about the Boston Cyber Arts Festival 2007. Depending on when you download or listen to this podcast, you may still have time to check out the Boston Cyber Arts Festival, which is taking place now through May 6th at museums, galleries, theaters, universities, and public spaces in and around the Boston area. The festival is the first and largest collaboration of artists working in new technologies in all media in North America, encompassing visual arts, dance, music, electronic literature, web art, and public art. Check out bostoncyberarts.org for more information, or click on the links for the festival we have included in the show notes. Another thing I'd like to talk about is PolySciFi, which you can find at thepartyparty.com, and the operator of this website has spent what one can only assume to be a lot of time taking sound bites of world leaders like U.S. President George W. Bush and British Prime Minister Tony Blair, as well as influential figures like Martin Luther King Jr., and assembling recognizable songs out of them. For example, there's a video of Bush speaking to a joint session of Congress, perhaps a State of the Union address, and he has taken bits and pieces of Bush's speech so that he's assembled him singing, for lack of a better term, U2's Sunday Bloody Sunday. There's also another video, where he has taken segments of speeches given by Bush and turned it into a mashup of John Lennon's Imagine and Lou Reed's Walk on the Wild Side. And finally, I'd like to talk about Jonathan Colton. My friend Katie Musser told me about Jonathan, and he had been doing a project called Thing a Week, in which he wrote and recorded a new song each week for a year and posted it on his website. He is also a PodSafe artist, allowing his music to be played on podcasts. But Jonathan also does a little bit more than that. He also hosts Popular Science's PopSci podcast. Yes, he's a true Renaissance man. So check out the multi-talented Jonathan Colton, and you can get to his website by clicking on the link in the show notes. And now, here is the Technology and the Arts events calendar.
This is your Technology and the Arts events calendar. Animated Gestures, 3 recent interactive drawing installations by pioneering new media artist Camille Utterback, is currently running through May 14, 2007, at Art Interactive in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Also, Art Interactive is hosting Boston Cyber Arts Central through May 6, 2007. For a full listing of Boston Cyber Arts events, please visit www.bostoncyberarts.org. For more information about Art Interactive, including exhibit hours, visit www.artinteractive.org or call 617-498-0100. On Saturday, May 12, 2007, St. Andrew's Lutheran Church at 383 Jarvis Street in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, hosts the Organic Evolution Concert. The church organ, built in 1915, has been updated with MIDI capability, allowing the organ to control and be controlled by MIDI-capable instruments and computers. For more information about the Organic Evolution Concert, please visit www.oralflame.com. From Friday, May 18th through Sunday, May 20th, 2007, catch the Wave Gathering Festival in Asbury Park, New Jersey. The festival features more than 150 musical artists playing at nearly 20 venues in Asbury Park throughout the weekend. For a full schedule and more information, please visit www.wavegathering.com. To stay informed about these and other events related to technology and the arts, please remember to check out the Technology and the Arts events page at techarts.wordpress.com.
Well, now it's time for our dialogue segment, during which we hear from those who work with technology and art on an everyday basis. This week, we'll be hearing from some people we met at Trenton Computer Festival, where we had a really fun time. I guess we're diverging a little bit from the idea where we're hearing from just those who work with technology and art on an everyday basis. This time around, we're going to focus on people who appreciate art and technology on an everyday basis. And let's get to it right now. State your name, please.
Chris Leon.
Why are you here today?
I'm here as part of the LUG IP table, which is the Linux users group in Princeton, of which I am a member.
What's your favorite technology?
My favorite technology? I'm a computer programmer, so I would have to say computing.
What's the best thing you saw today at TCF?
I saw some guy who was... He was technically selling, but virtually giving away some old, reasonably old Spark machines, Sun boxes. He, out in the flea market, he had a Sun Server 10 and an E Server 100, and he wanted $5 for the whole barrel. And so somebody took them because they didn't last long.
What's your earliest computer-related memory?
My earliest computer-related memory is playing a game of craps on an ASR33 teletype terminal connected to a Nova, which was a Data General mini computer, in 1975 at the University of Colorado, Fort Collins.
Thank you.
State your name, please.
My name is Dave. Dave Harding.
Why are you here today?
I'm here to... advocate the use of GNU plus Linux to anyone who wants to listen to me.
What's the best thing you saw today at TCF?
The best thing I saw today was a bunch of people taking a GNU Linux CD and going home very excited about what they are about to do.
Can you explain what GNU Linux is?
GNU plus Linux is an operating system. It's a little bit like Unix. It's a little bit like Windows, but the key factor is that it is free. That's free as in freedom. You can take it, you can change it, you can share it, and it's also generally free as in price. You don't need to pay for it, usually, but you can pay for it, and if you change it, you can sell it.
Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
State your name, please.
Daniel Zuckerman.
Why are you here today?
I'm here to help spread the joy of Linux with my colleagues and friends at LUG IP.
What's your favorite technology?
My Trio.
Why is it your favorite technology?
Because it's the only thing I have to carry.
But it does not have Linux on it.
True, but it doesn't have Windows on it either.
What's the best thing you saw today at Trenton Computer Festival?
The $150 color laser printer I bought.
What's your earliest computer-related memory?
Playing NIM on a Radio Shack TRS-80 when I was probably about 10 years old and my father would not buy me the computer.
State your name, please.
John Martinetti.
What's your earliest computer-related memory?
I had a Commodore VIC-20 in the very early 80s, and I actually ran it out of memory programming in BASIC.
Thank you very, very much. State your name, please.
Bill Woodall.
Why are you here today?
To represent the user group, and also just to see what's going on.
What's your earliest computer-related memory?
Playing with an IBM 1620 as a sophomore in high school.
Please state your name.
Mike Stein.
Why are you here today?
We're doing an exhibit. We're here with the USS Justice, part of Starfleet, a chapter of the Star Trek fan club. And we're looking for new members to join us and other ships, as well as another ship here to do recruiting. And we're looking for more people to join our adventure here and to have fun.
What's the best thing you saw today, obviously, aside from your own booth? What's the best thing you saw today at the festival?
Oh, the variety of different things. I mean, I see so many different things, and it's like I'm almost like overwhelmed as to what do I need here, you know? Different things that I've read about, and just seeing the things to buy and talking to the people that are knowledgeable about the different products and the items that are available here.
Very good. Yeah. Really appreciate your time. Could you state your name, please?
Kim Goldenberg.
Why are you here today?
I was looking for some memory and some hard drives, do some upgrades on some computers.
Great. What is your favorite technology?
I think processors are my favorite technology.
Why?
because there are so many different kinds, and yet they all do essentially the same things.
What is your earliest computer-related memory?
Going with my father to work when I was probably about 8 or 9 years old, and they had unit record equipment dealing with cards and tapes, card sorters and collators, and all sorts of stuff like that.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You. Thank you.
State your name, please.
Chris Cavallari.
Why are you here today?
I am here to man the booth at the for the New Jersey Podcasters Association.
What's your favorite technology?
Oh, wow. Favorite technology, I'd have to say, is video. Video cameras, photography, and of course, podcasting.
What's your favorite codec?
Favorite codec? That's a tough one. Right now, have to be MP4, MPEG-4.
Why?
It's got the best kind of compression to quality ratio, I think.
Tell us a little bit about your podcast.
I don't have a podcast right now. It's coming back. I used to have one called The Martini Shot, Movie Making for Beginners. And it'll be coming back soon, but maybe as a video, maybe as audio. Haven't decided yet. And it's basically a show for independent, novice, beginner filmmakers, and teaching them how to make their own movies.
How do you feel about the rise of flash video as compared to MPEG-4 as the sort of YouTube revolution of video, you know, sort of overtaking that side of audio-video media? Do you think that MPEG-4 is going to continue on, or do you feel like maybe flash is going to sort of overtake it so that it's eclipsed?
I think they're two very different things. I think flash is actually really good because it's pretty ubiquitous among operating systems and makes watching video on the web really easy for a lot of people. MPEG-4 allows for a lot of good quality video, but you can take MPEG-4 and convert it into flash video and you're all set. So, you know, I don't see them kind of competing against each other. I see them as working together. So, you know, the two different things are pretty good in themselves.
What's your earliest computer-related memory?
Oh, wow. I was probably about 8 or 9, and my father had before that, my mother had an Apple II GS that I used to type book reports on for school. And then my first computer myself was an IBM clone, just some random box with, you know, the green monitors and the green lettering on the monitors and the really loud keyboards. That was about it. I don't have it, maybe, you know, 5 megs of RAM or something, or of memory or whatever, 5 meg hard drive.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank
for
you.
Your time. Could you state your name, please?
My name is Evan Koblenz.
Why are you here today?
Okay, well, my group, we're March. We're Mid-Atlantic Retro Computing Hobbyists, Inc. We are a nonprofit in the state of New Jersey, and basically we're a user group. And we collect and restore vintage computers from the 40s to the 80s. And we have a computer museum we're building in Wall Township, New Jersey. And we have our own show called the Vintage Computer Festival. And so we're here mainly trying to get people interested in the hobby and get people to come to our show as well. And we're partners of this show. In fact, last year, Saul Leibs, the founder of the show, spoke at our show as a speaker, lecturer.
What is your favorite technology?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious. My favorite technology is antique computers.
Can you talk about some of the machines you have here?
Sure. Well, we just have a few demos here. Here on the end, we have an Atari 2600, everyone's favorite video game from the 1970s. And it's great to see, you know, young children playing with it. Kids today, consoles have 12 buttons, you know. And your parents used to say, I used to walk uphill to school both ways in the snow. I tell kids, well, my video game had one orange button. They think I'm kidding. But, you know, kid, you're playing Space Invaders. Here we have an HP 85, which is actually a desktop calculator, all working condition. We have a TI Silent 700, which is a portable briefcase-sized teletype printer.
And it has the phone coupler.
And it has an acoustic coupler on top, that's right. People used to, like, you know, play chess and Star Trek over the line to people, you know, countries away. Over here we have a Commodore PET, which is one of the first microcomputers, and a little plug. The founder of that, Chuck Peddle, is going to be the keynote speaker at our show this summer. The website is midatlanticretro.org. And then on the end, we just have a modern PC running an emulator of almost anything and everything. back here, some of our members are repairing and restoring an Altair kit computer from 1975.
That is so cool. That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Yeah, they're doing a live restoration back there, connected to a terminal.
Wow. What's your earliest computer-related memory?
Well, I'm 32. I'm a child of the 80s. So I guess the first computer thing I ever used was a Pong, in television Pong. From there, I graduated to Atari 2600, to my Apple IIe, and the rest is history. But I feel like I was born a generation too late, because a lot of our members are older than I, and they have mini computers, punch cards, paper tape, and I missed out on that. But now, for the club, I get to relive some of it.
Will you be back next year?
Definitely. We come to the show every year.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Could you state your name, please?
Bill Degnan.
Why are you here today?
Demonstration of vintage computers with my club, Mid-Atlantic Retro Computer Hobbyists.
What's the best thing you've seen today at Trenton Computer Festival?
My Altair 680 starting up and getting a monitor prompt for the first time.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
Could you state your name, please?
My name is Matthew Patinio, and I'm a computer engineer at the College of New Jersey.
Why are you here today?
We're here to demonstrate our senior project. It's called New Jersey Autonomous Vehicle. And it's a small four-wheel vehicle, and it's meant to drive without human intervention on an outdoor obstacle course.
Is this in any way affiliated with the DARPA project?
No, it's not officially affiliated with the DARPA. It's in some ways sort of a mini DARPA, which is more for college, undergrad, and graduate level students.
What's your favorite technology?
Definitely my favorite is our scanning laser rangefinder that we use. It's a sick model LMS-291, and it gives us a great 180-degree field of view. It tells us where all the obstacles are. I'm a big fan.
What's the frequency of the scanning that happens?
It happens at actually a rate of 75 hertz. So that's 75 180-degree scans per second.
And how does your particular machine deal with the terrain problem if it encounters, like, a hill, for example?
Our car actually has a feedback-driven speed control system that automatically adjusts the throttle on our motor controller to make sure it maintains a constant forward velocity.
What's your earliest computer-related memory?
Oh, well, probably when I was about 4 or 5. My dad gave me his old 386 and let me go play with it in DOS, and I got started trying to program in, like, QBasic and a little bit of C back then.
Will you come back next year?
Actually, I'll be graduating, but if I'm in the area, I will come by.
I appreciate your time. Fantastic project. Could you state your name, please?
Joe Terranova.
Why are you here today?
I'm here to promote Ubuntu.
Can you explain what that is?
Ubuntu is a Linux distribution. Its main goal is to provide a free and open source operating system to everyone, provided in every language, regardless of country and learning disability and system.
What's your favorite technology?
I'm kind of interested in the Hadron Collider. I'm interested in seeing if mini black holes pop up.
What's the best thing you saw today at Trenton Computer Festival?
Oh, I haven't really left the table yet. I figured I'd head out a little bit later. Best thing I've seen thus far at my table was someone asking if there was licensing or a trial version for Ubuntu.
What's your earliest computer-related memory?
Oh, my earliest computer-related memory is definitely doing some math program in DOS, I think, 2 or 3. We had those computers with the double-gauge 5.5-inch floppies. Yeah, it was some math game involving dinosaurs.
Will you come back next year?
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to try to see if I can have some sort of talk next year. It was kind of a little late in the game this year, but yeah, it's going well thus far. I'll be back.
Well, John, it was real fun hanging out at the Trenton Computer Festival. It was nice to meet all those people, and it was great that they took the time to speak with us. So thank you to all of those who talked to us at the Trenton Computer Festival.
Absolutely. It's a great bunch of people, and it was just an amazing, finally, an amazing introduction to spring.
Well, we're just about at the end of another Technology and the Arts podcast. John, anything you'd like to share with the audience?
Well, as always, I'd like to say to our listeners that if you have an idea for a story or know about a show or event related to technology or art, let us know about it by emailing us at technology.arts@gmail.com. Also, feel free to send an email just to say hi. And, as always, you're welcome to leave a comment on the Technology in the Arts blog at techarts.wordpress.com.
Well, that closes the curtain on another Technology in the Arts podcast. Stay tuned for more news, interviews, and resources related to technology and the arts when we come back with our next show, which will be posted at techarts.wordpress.com on Wednesday, May 16th, 2007. Keep an eye on the Technology and the Arts blog for information about our guest for that podcast. So until then, for Technology and the Arts, this is Brian Kelly.
And this is John Lemazny saying, make sure to subscribe to our RSS feed. Take care.
For more information about the podcast you have just heard, please visit Technology and the Arts on the web at techarts.wordpress.com.